Good morning. It is so good to see everybody this morning. It's actually easier to see everybody from this angle. Thank you for having me, for inviting me, and for giving me something to look forward to all year long. My name is Anca. I'm originally from Romania. I was born and raised, born and raised in a village, went to college in a city, and came to America after that with a Peace Corps volunteer that is from Birmingham, Alabama, that served in Romania for 3.5 years. I've been here for 16 years, and I'm amazed at the precision of Scott's memories. My husband, who was already in recovery when I met him, 5 years in recovery or so, at the time, convinced me to visit Al-Anon. He was trying to explain to me the lifelong framework for AA that he had. We had no such framework where I was coming from, although alcoholism is very prevalent. And I grew up in alcoholism as well. But the angle to bring me to Al-Anon, because it takes an angle, guys. It takes quite, sometimes more than one angle, was, you know, I want you to understand this about me. So I, at the time that I met Scott, I was visiting, and I did visit for a few years. It was only a few years later, at a time of personal crisis, that I actually took the step to get a sponsor and start working the steps. I don't really count the visiting years. There were about 3 of them or more. I really only count from the December 2008 when I started working those steps, because that was the monumental point. I want to start, I know I've already wanted to mention you guys where I am and everything, but since in my mind I'm still starting, I have a little prayer I wanted to, it's for myself, but I wanted to share with you guys today. Metta is a trend right now. And since metta is a trend right now, I have something we call a metta prayer. It's really brief, but it's really precious to me. And it goes like this. May I be at peace. Oh, I didn't realize. Metta, it starts with M, every single one. May my heart remain open. May I be healed. May I be a source of healing for all people and beings. That is the spirit in which I'm sharing my Al-Anon story with you guys today as a grateful member of the fellowship. And before I share a little bit more about my upbringing and just how prevalent alcoholism was in my family growing up, I want to mention something about just the brilliance of these 12 steps. And the fact that the longer the time that I spend in the program and building the practice that Al-Anon has brought to my life, the more I am struck by the brilliance of these steps. The simplicity of the content, the sequence, and how, you know, even after working them with my sponsor and really reworked them with my sponsor again this year, and working them with several sponsees, there are still ways to go deeper and to keep learning and to keep growing. You know, it doesn't stop with working the steps once. And I remember so clearly when my sponsor and I finished working the steps. It had taken a while. I had lost count, you know, just like you guys have lost count of how long you've been coming here, you know. When it becomes joy, the count becomes, you know, second, third. But all I could think of was, can we do it again? And she said, yes, but this time you're going to do it in a different way, by giving this away to other people. She also told me that very few people finish working all the 12 steps, that most people work through 4, get some relief. Usually the common denominator is we come in pain, we get some relief by 4th, and then we go back out to do life on our own, because we can handle it. And I could not imagine losing the benefits and the things that I have learned in between steps 4 and 12. It made me sad. And then I got to see it myself in my practice. I've worked the steps with people over the years, and I only have one that had finished all the 12 steps. A nod to yesterday's comment of, we are the few. I also sponsor some people who have worked the steps with other people and then came to me. I also sponsor a few people that are just working the steps for the first time. I also want to mention that one thing that I've realized has been a constant theme of my journey in Al-Anon was the buts. So this first part of my talk is about the brilliance of the steps and the buts. In the beginning, it looked like, yes, but it's so hard. Yes, but how? Later, as you know, accumulated some more experience, the buts never left. But they're still yelling at my house. But I now have added a grown child to the choir of difficult people. But there are always buts. But then, I guess by the grace of staying long enough and being around you guys for long enough and around my sponsor for long enough, they become more straightforward in time, I'll say. They cut to the chase. So the other but that has appeared is, and some of, you know, sometimes it's really just, it's a but from God, it's a spiritual but. But what about me? You have me. Yeah, it's still hard. Yeah, you're not as good as this as you thought you should be or could be. Yeah, you're still struggling to, you know, show up to find that name tag. Have to do something 3 times. You still can't get it right. But what about me? What about me, beloved? What about me? You've got me. And I think that's one of the biggest gifts of the practice, that there's now a personal, constant contact with a God who reminds me that I have him. And I didn't have that when I first came here. I grew up as the 4th daughter for my mom, the 3rd daughter for my dad. And I never met my father not drinking. He was a good man, but he really liked to party. And it only got worse. He and my grandfather, who lived next door, were not functional alcoholics. We're talking spellings that lasted weeks, where all of our lives entered this halt and awkward phase where you didn't know if you were going to be safe spending the night, if you were going to be able to do your homework tonight. It's just an incertitude and loud voices, and they were also very antagonic, the two of them. You know, there was a lot hurled over the fence. And even as children, we knew how to make that worse. You learn. I guess that's why it is a family disease, right? We all respond and we all adjust to it in ways that we're not even aware of. We stole my grandfather's bottles to aggravate him. He would be on this huge, you know, wooden flimsy ladder trying to get into his attic, to get to his homemade alcohol drink that was locked through the regular access on the inside by the other family members that were, you know, more sane, trying to get through this little window on this flimsy ladder, and we would shake it. And, you know, made him run after us and chase us and hate us and... Whew. That to say, it is a family circus. And, you know, by the time I was in high school and college and left to attend school elsewhere, my father had become largely impossible to live with, and my sisters and I did not mention him to our friends. We traveled all over the country with the scouts. We went to events. People came to our city. We distributed them with our friends to sleep and spend the night because we didn't dare bring anybody home. Most of the people who had known her for years didn't even know whether we had a father or not. The curtain was tightly pulled. My father drank himself to death by the time he was 51. I was in my last year of college by then. We, of course, lost him emotionally long before that, probably about a decade or so. Even so, I loved my father. And, of course, by the time he died, I married somebody who was done with drinking. I thought, great, because I'm so scared of this. And my father had three girls, so who knows where the genie's going to jump. He has two sisters that are also alcoholics. There was a long line in the family. I was so scared. I didn't even, you know, no alcohol at our wedding. You know, I don't even want to be around it. But I thought, great, we're done. Little did I know. So when Rob insisted that I go just to find out more and have a framework for his, you know, recovery, I went. I, of course, noticed that the more I learned, the more resentful I felt, and I was a little scared by that, because growing up, you just, especially as a child, you accept things as they are. You love your people as they are. You find your role in the family. For me, it was the peacemaker. And, you know, I tried to help my parents be nicer to each other. If only they could do that, everything would be better and I would have the family I wanted. So it was weird to feel like, oh my goodness, they really couldn't keep much from us, could they? And I was not used to feeling that. I was my mom's helper. I was my dad's, you know, confidant. I was whatever anybody needed, and it was fine. Little did I know that some of those things that I developed by growing up too fast and becoming responsible for things before my age, just so that I could help out, because my mom needed a lot of help, and she really did. And she sometimes said no. She said, you know, don't, you shouldn't be helping me, but I insisted, you know, because I loved to help, and she needed the help. Well, in other ways, I grew up too fast. I don't remember being a teenager. I have a teenage daughter now, and I'm like, I've definitely not been a teenager. I saw my sisters do some stuff and decided it wasn't worth it and felt like my mom had enough, didn't need me to join that row. And in other ways, you know, I grew up to be in my 20s, and when something hard happened, I felt like an 8-year-old girl on the inside. So, you know, development is spotty. And then there are gaps that nothing and nobody can fill. And I think what life has revealed to me is how unprepared and unequipped I was to function in a healthy way. I don't know what my life would look like today if I hadn't found Al-Anon, because honestly, it's hard enough with it. But I certainly don't even want to know what it would look like without it. When my sponsor and I started working the steps, you know, I thought it was going to be 1, 2, 3. Really, largely, I was there because I was in pain. I didn't know what to do with so much pain. I didn't feel comfortable talking to anybody. I didn't feel safe. I was in a different culture. All I had was my husband to latch on and use him inappropriately for more than he was built for. And I largely felt like I should already have the answers that I didn't have. And she helped undo those things for me very slowly and patiently, and, you know, took me out of this mangled tight ball and, you know, started to roll the dough a little. And it took some time, but I remember working with her through the first 3 steps and thinking I was, you know, going to get some new ideas of how to handle these things, because obviously mine didn't work. I didn't realize I was signing up for a spiritual program, and I was going to become, you know, build a trusting relationship with God. I had, you know, come back to believing in God, but had no idea what a trusting, that whole trust thing was a whole nother field that I didn't really know how to engage in. And by the time we got to step 4 and she asked me to make a list and, you know, get really honest, I have built a beautiful list. It was many pages long, and it had on it probably every word that came to my mind that meant something that a human could be guilty of. I loved the dictionary. When I was growing up, I used to read it for fun. Needless to say, I got some praise for it. My sponsor said she'd never seen such a great list before, and that she wasn't gonna, that she, we were gonna go back to the first 3 steps and spend some more time on it. She didn't say these words, but I guess she wasn't gonna work with a self-flagellating creep. So we went back and started to build a foundation where we really just learned concepts. You know, how do you look at this? Like this? No, 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 no. What about this? Here it is. Maybe, maybe not. And my carefully constructed self came to a halt. One day she asked me what was my primary purpose. And this is the girl who never ran blank, because part of how I coped with growing up in alcoholism was become really knowledgeable, really helpful. And even when I didn't know the answer, I could come up and I could make up something. Who's our maker-upper? He's not here. I could still take my way through it just by, I remember the teacher like, you know, I'm really close to catching you, but I just can't do it. Like, that would be hard. And I ran a complete blank that day. I had nothing. And I never had nothing before. I had nothing. And the reason I brought this notebook here as an exhibit is because this was my first journal. And although I'm a writer, I was a very resistant person to journal and to write. And knowing today who my sponsor is after being sponsored by her by so long, I don't know how she put up with that for about 8 months. I don't put up with that myself now. But on the back of this is my primary purpose that she gave me because I didn't have one. I want to read to you guys this because it's still very important to me. It says, may I awaken to the light of my own true nature. The idea that maybe there was something for me to discover that God had, you know, put there before it started being, you know, slapped around and largely modified by others and by me and just by how I interpreted life, was very much a saving grace at that point, and something I was ready to latch on to. And it's still exciting to me today. It's still the basis of my spiritual journey with Al-Anon. And I just want to put in a word for the written word. I also have asked God this morning, since he knows the audience here better than I do, to, you know, just inform and bring out the part of my story that, you know, he wants and that he needs. And one of the things that I heard, and that was actually confirmed by somebody here in the room as well, I know that most of the people here are from AA, and I'm a part of the Al-Anon program, the sort of sister program. For some reason, it has been my experience. I don't share my story very often, and it's been a few years. And of course, it changes a little. But it has been my experience that parts of my story have spoken a lot to AAs before. And I think just in awareness of that, you know, I know we share the steps, but the goals of each of the programs are different. I know there's no Serenity, which is the purpose of our, you know, part of the program, of Al-Anon, Serenity, peace, right? The metta prayer. There is no serenity outside of sobriety. Sobriety makes serenity possible. But what I wonder is sobriety enough? And I won't answer that question because I don't have the part of the disease that had to fight with the physical consumption. But I do very much share in the same disease and in the emotional and spiritual part of the same disease, a disease of emotions, a disease of incorrect thinking, of just plenty opportunities to fall into holes all the time. So I very much believe that, you know, we suffer from the same disease, and that I think a lot of us, both as children and then as adults, have developed ways to cope with difficulties. And I often watch people who come to Al-Anon and don't immediately have the direct connection. And by that I mean, parents growing up in alcoholism, or a spouse, or a very, you know, a sibling or a close friend. And, you know, I watch them and I feel sad, you know, they, this qualifying thing, you know, they just disqualify themselves. And what I realized recently, you know, is that just the extent of how we are affected by this, and I have seen it in my own life, there's no way I could have gotten myself out of those holes that my sponsor and, you know, you guys have helped me out of. It is counterintuitive to everything I have developed to cope. It is the opposite. It has taken some, you know, extensive brain, you know, brain work to shift, and not easy to shift, ideas that, even though I was young, were quite cemented. And witnessing personally the continued difficulty of that, and just how some of those things are, you know, transmitted, you know, the difficulties with my children, you know. I'm just realizing that even if you don't have that direct connection, those things are not addressed. They're still somewhere in there. Some people have more resources than others, but it's not going anywhere if you don't address it. It's still latent. There's always the potential, and I personally feel life is hard enough. So I'm all about exploring the broader connection to it, you know? An uncle is enough, and somebody pointed to me recently that, you know, we call Al-Anon a program for friends and families. Even a, you know, more extended family member or just a friend, you know? And by this time, we all have friends, right? Just each other. That to say, I think if anybody is, you know, ready and has capacity and wants more, you know, and is open to getting more out of recovery, it doesn't take much to qualify at all. In Al-Anon, and the only thing I wrote on this paper, and really just for a little aid, is really the steps. In the first step in Al-Anon, we replace alcohol. Admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives had become unmanageable. We replace alcohol with people, places, and things. Are you guys powerless over people, places, and things too? Yeah, largely human, I'll say. I think, you know, the main things I wanted to convey to you guys today was that Al-Anon helps me stay open. It is not easy to remain open. but it helps me. It also has taught me to question my motives. I think the work with the sponsors and just the meetings, beautifully designed to help you do that. I don't think there would be a whole lot of questioning of my motives in my life outside of Al-Anon. And it is healthy for me to sometimes question, even when I think I've got it. Actually, sometimes those are the moments that I needed the most. And the third idea, right? Remain open. Whatever it takes to remain open, yeah? Question my motives. The third would be, it is so valuable to have the opportunity to fine-tune the things that I have been given and the things that I am continuously given if I keep showing up. And this instrument right here blew my mind. It started doing it last night, but I studied it this morning. I've never seen an organ situated this close to a door. Usually they are inaccessible somewhere up. I was floored of how many, there are like 30-something pieces of things you can put your feet on, just underneath. This is just underneath, outside of all the claps and all the buttons on top, okay? This is just the underneath, the feet work, okay? Over 30 pieces of things you can. I was blown away by it, and I feel the same about Al-Anon, and I feel the same about our spiritual practice in a community, you know? I can get the message carried to me in that many different ways, through so many different voices and experiences, and, you know, I hear it differently. And sometimes I need to hear it more, and I need to hear it again, or I need to hear it from a completely different voice. This past year, God sent me 2 sponsees, and I had no capacity for 2 more, and He knew that. He also knows how important this work is to me. But I usually keep a capacity of about 3 to 4, because one may always fall down, depending on how many are working the steps for the first time, who are, you know, the more regular. And these 2 that came were not new people at all. One had a lot of years of sobriety in AA, and one had been around Al-Anon for a very long time. And I just felt something so special. Well, I knew they weren't going to be a weekly meeting. You know, I'm in the water all the time kind of people, which helped. But I just had a clear sense of, not only am I honored that these women want to do some Al-Anon step work with me, wherever it goes, but I had a clear sense of that I'm meant to learn something from them. And it's true. And it's happening. And, you know, getting to see this and how it works in other people gives me so much hope for me. Outside of that, I still lose hope for myself at times. And, you know, Al-Anon has been a lot of emotional work for me. I thought I was good at expressing feelings just because, you know, I'm enough of an extrovert, and I'm a communicator, and I'm a writer, and I found out that I'm not good at expressing feelings. Shocker. That when I'm asked to express feelings, I first have to come up with the evidence to make sure that I have a right to those feelings. That was disheartening to learn. This was after years in the program. Disheartening. Yet the patient work that we do in the program and the language and the relationships that we build, you know, I've learned that I have to feel the hurt, therefore be able to express it before I forget and before I forgive. I also learned that sometimes it's really stupid to forget. Also that the forgiving is God's business, not mine. I used to put a lot of pressure on myself based on commercial movies where, you know, there is the forgiveness part that has to come now. And many a times the jury was waiting on my forgiveness. And I realized, I did not realize, I was taught through step work that is not my work. My only part of that is to let go of the wrong. It's God's job to forgive. And slowly but surely, all of this work is turning into taking on less and giving God more, which is not a bad deal for me at all. When I woke up this morning, something came to me from my straight out of my previous work, step work with my sponsor, and it was the image of a girl who has a broken doll and goes to her father and leaves the doll, the broken doll, with him to fix it, with complete trust that he will fix it. None of that children stuff in the story about pestering about when and how, and none of that. She just trusts that he will fix it in his time. And I'm still that broken doll. And since I didn't create myself, another thing that I learned in Al-Anon, and I'm not my own creation, it's gonna have to be God who puts me back together. And the beautiful part about that is that I get to enjoy. And although it's been a long time since I've been to something like this, as soon as I stepped in the midst of you guys last night, I haven't stopped joking and laughing, both on the inside and out. And that is not my work. I think the beautiful thing about the communities that we build is that there's an ease about them. And I know it's very difficult for all of us to face the things we have done, the people we have hurt, which I think is what sometimes makes the Al-Anon AA connection hard, you know? Maybe feel like, oh, the other room is where the people point fingers. We're not allowed to do that much. But that to say, there's so much more than that. If we remain open. So I just want to close with the same metta prayer I opened, and just praying that for all of us today. May our hearts remain open. May we be at peace. May we be healed. May we be a source of healing for all people and beings. Thank you.